We have Greg on the line. Hopefully he's still on the line, and hopefully I can get the phone thingamajig working. So we're going to talk about critical mental health. And Greg recently wrote an article. I'm just going to flip that on there. Turn this up. Hey, Greg, are you there?
Hey, Andy. How's it going?
Good. How you doing?
Oh, pretty good, thanks.
Glad to have you on the show with us today.
Yeah, and thankful you gave me the opportunity.
Yeah. Well, you recently published an article in the Dominion, the 10th anniversary edition and the front cover. So congratulations on that.
Yeah, thanks. It's pretty cool to have this getting out, yeah.
Yeah. So the article was called Call Us Crazy, Mad Movements Organized Against Ableism, Mentalism, and More. So do you want to tell us a bit about the article and what inspired you to write it?
For sure. Well, I guess the first thing is just to say, if people are listening and they're at their computer, they can go and check it out right now, either at dominionpaper.ca or equitableeducation.ca. It's posted in both of those places. It came about because there was a conference hosted at the University of Ottawa in March called Let's Talk About Mental Health, and that kind of prompted me to think, maybe I should do some interviews and make a story. So I did. I put in a pitch and it got accepted. Originally, I was thinking more about focusing on the Icarus Project, which is something that I've been an online forum member for a few years now. It's a radical mental health network with online discussion forums and local groups in different places, mainly in the U.S., but elsewhere as well. But it ended up just with the people I interviewed. There was two people who presented at the conference, Elisa and Elizabeth, who are from the GTA area and do a lot of work with the CSX movement. That's consumers, survivors, and ex-patients. And that's kind of one way that the mental health activism movement is called, CSX, or also called Mad Pride. So there was the two of them I interviewed. The other person I interviewed from the conference was Abla Abdelhadi. And she had also given a workshop at the conference about her own experiences with mental health and with being criminalized and forcibly hospitalized in the States. And the resulting trauma and advocacy work she had to do. And then there was also Kevin Healy, who's originally from Great Britain, but is in Toronto now, and he does some really good peer support work, especially around with the International Hearing Voices movement.
Mm-hmm.
And the last person I interviewed was someone out in Calgary who's started an Icarus Project there. Just in the past 6 months, I guess. So those are the people featured in the article, their perspectives, and I guess some of the critical analysis around ways that mental health is presented and dealt with.
Yeah. There was some great interviews in that article, and I really appreciated hearing from those other perspectives that often we may not hear from. Something like a theme that popped out in the article was like there's a difference between radical and mainstream, or critical and mainstream approaches to mental health. I don't know if you can tease that out a bit. Like, what are some of the differences between the two approaches?
Yeah, I think one thing, if you're looking at kind of grassroots approaches to mental health or radical approaches to mental health, it's very much peer-based.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of like people who've had experiences, one way of terming it is people who have mental health histories, have this knowledge of both, I guess, the mental health challenges, but also the more systemic challenges that one person was framing it or calling it mentalism,
mm-hmm.
Related to ableism, which is just the discrimination based on disability or different abilities.
Mm-hmm.
But mentalism they saw as potentially something separate that's based, is discrimination based strictly on differing mental perspectives or abilities. Mm-hmm. And so looking at all the forms of discrimination that are built into our society, so there's individual discrimination, but there's also institutional or systemic discriminations, and it affects a lot of aspects of people's lives when they've either been diagnosed with something or people look at them differently.
Cool. So it was for me, it was interesting to learn about, like, in activist communities, there's lots of isms that are used, but mentalism is, for me at least, is a relatively new term, so I appreciated learning more about that.
Yeah, I guess just to add to what's the radical approach is, I guess another thing is looking at it past being about, it's just this medical diagnosis, it's this medical framework of seeing things,
mm-hmm.
where people, is just like, it's an individual thing, you have something wrong with you biologically, and therefore we'll give you a pill and it will solve it. And mm-hmm. and like, it was Kevin who was talking about how medications can help people sometimes, but sometimes they don't, sometimes there's side effects. He was talking in terms of hearing voices. It's like his perspective was that the people who have these different mental experiences, it's not necessarily something that is wrong. It's just a different human experience,
mm-hmm.
which is like can also be considered a normal experience for some people. And he was talking about how people just you learn to live with it. You learn to deal with whatever might be called symptoms. And not to pathologize it. And also he was talking about how a lot of times people who really end up having problems with mental health symptoms or mental health experiences that are problematic, it often comes out of a history of trauma. So really mm-hmm. looking at there are things in our lives that contribute to how we are mentally, how our mental health state is. And it's not just... It's not just a biological or medical thing. It can actually come out of situations that we have lived with in the past.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was Kevin provided some really interesting commentary for the article. And I think they were teasing out like this notion between individual, like, you know, these are individualistic type issues. And I think it was something he said about, you know, forming relationships between, or the relationship existing between experts by experience and experts by training, and attempting to promote and practice a more pluralistic patient-directed approach. So,
yeah. So what that means is basically that whoever is helping someone with whatever problems they may be having, they look to that person as an expert who knows or at least has some ideas about what might actually help them, as opposed to really dictating a treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And the experts by experience, that's people who've actually lived with these different states of mental health, and they've learned from that and hopefully have learned to manage them. And the experts by training, he's actually working with both mental health professionals and other people who become experts in this pluralistic approach by learning from people who've actually gone through this stuff,
mm-hmm.
And not thinking they have the answers when they don't understand what people are going through, but instead learning from these people and becoming experts based on that knowledge that people build up through experience.
Right. So you mentioned the Icarus Project. I understand that's campus-based, so I'm wondering if there's anything, any organizing happening here on local campuses or in the region or city in general.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's campus-based. No. They do have kind of like a campus wing of Icarus.
Okay,
but it's mainly just people who come together under the Icarus banner, using some of the resources that the Icarus Project has provided or has produced. Like for here in Ottawa, we've started an Icarus Project group, and it came out of this conference in March, where three of us, we gave a workshop with the intent that maybe we could start something, and we've had some meetings since. And it's based on whatever people come with, what they want to do. Again, it's kind of like peer based, so people come. People have their own interests. They know what's going to work for them, or they're looking for support, and it's organizing to around that. I guess, and the thing is, We've got an upcoming event. So we've got biweekly meetings Monday evenings at the Bronson Center. And this next one, we're actually showing a short documentary. It's just over half an hour. It's called Crooked Beauty, Navigating the Space Between Brilliance and Madness. And it looks at one of the two founders or co-founders of the Icarus Project, Jax. And I actually haven't seen it, but I've seen a couple of parts of it. And it looks really powerful. So, yeah.
Nice. So folks in the community can check that out.
So the details is Monday, May 20th, 7 p.m., room 215 of the Bronson Center, which is at 211 Bronson Ave.
Great. Well, Greg, thanks for being with us today. Go ahead.
Thank you. But there's one other thing, I guess, which I didn't mention so far, but ABLA really provided a really good analysis of intersectionality of working on mentalism or ableism, which is to understand that we can't deal with it just in terms of mental health, just in terms of thinking it's discrimination on mental health. She brought in the perspective about it's interconnected with racism, with gender,
right.
With colonialism, and that kind of stuff, and how important it is to recognize these are interconnected things,
mm-hmm.
and you can't really separate. You can't say, well, this is a mental health issue and this is a racism issue, but these things really work together. So it's important that gets addressed whenever we're looking at this kind of stuff, and especially in activism that's not looking at mental health, but in general, we need to really bring in kind of a mental health analysis and an intersectional analysis to make sure we're not excluding people and to make sure we're actually dealing with what matters to people and having the whole person present in all of our work and not just being ableist and only accepting certain ability levels, but really, really honoring what people are going through.
Right. Yeah. And that was fleshed out a bit in the article. It's like, you know, in activist circles and activist culture, activists, come at this with a different, like with a perspective of, I think it was like, you know, get better and then come join us again. It's like, so I think activists have to, I don't know if you have any suggestions on how further to activists can deal with this, but it seems that it is an issue in activist circles.
Yeah, I think that actually thing is more general, actually, when people say, oh, you've got mental health problems, so therefore go away, get better, and then come back. And that's what ABLA saw happening with her own experience in activist circles, but mm-hmm. also that happens, say, people going to school. It's like, oh, go away, get better, come back when you're good. But no, we need really accommodations for people to be able to participate at the level that works for them. Mm-hmm. And it's not just up to them to advocate for those accommodations, but it's up to other people, allies, to say, yeah, this is something that's important.
Definitely. So I want to thank you again, Greg. I don't know if you want to plug that article. Folks can find it online, and maybe any links to the Icarus Project or anything else that folks locally would want to plug into.
For sure. The article actually at the bottom or in the print edition, it's got a sidebar. Where it has maybe like 10 different links to mental health, radical mental health resources.
Hmm.
So the article is available at dominionpaper.ca. I think it's the second article up right now. And it's also at equitableeducation.ca, and it's the top article right now. And at equitableeducation.ca, it's also got links to PDFs, so if people want to print it off and use it as a handout or just read it on their own offline, they can do that.
Great. Well, thanks for joining us today, Greg, and thanks for the great article.
Andy. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, take care now.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, folks can also, if you're on the Carleton campus, Oprah Carleton has a resource library. So we do have that issue in, I think, so you can come into the office at 326 Unicenter, sit in one of our comfy chairs, and get into some good reading. So... we're going to follow up that interview with a song by Kanon. This is Voices in My Head.
Hey! Poison in my veins, inside I'm tortured in my brain. Figure the shit that I'm in the pain. I'm literally going insane. I'm frightened, my heart and my head have been fighting. I'm certain it's hurting the rest of my body. Them voices as loud as Manhattan come chatting. They say, medicine, lettuce, and you know you better than all of these replicates screaming they represent. Come on, man, come on. And the people inside me say they wanna see me going tragically, and it's evil. Cause I'm only 20 something working for a crumb, some bread or dust. The deeper the trouble, come out of the bubble. I teach you to cuddle with demons inside me. Where demon is not me, these demons inside me, they got me. They stop me from sleeping and eating and keeping it even. And even my reason for breathing is season. Sleeting or danger, my nose when I'm breathing is bleeding on paper. It's bleeding on paper. And I'm tired of this violence and tortured inside. Ain't it awkward, I'm overly open inside. Have I already died? Has mom already cried? Then why do I feel like I'm over this life? I'm not hateful, I'm grateful, my girlfriend is tasteful. I'm living it up. And I might even blow like a leak in a truck with a torch and a clutch, an explosion that leaves a whole coffin of dust. And the people inside me say they wanna see me going tragically, and it's evil. Cause I'm only 20 something working for a crumb, some bread or nothing. I'm trying to write and I ain't thought of no shit. I live with guilt like I slaughtered a sick. I live with shame like my daughter a bitch. I don't make living but I still persist. I could sell out but I still resist. So don't tell me about no pain and shit. I was born and raised in poverty, bitch. And I smile all the while and I don't complain. I'm something like Gil Scott heroin. Do you know what it feels like to lose a friend again and again, again, again? The bitter, the sinner, the killer, the poet. River the blood within him that's flowing. I'm the bitter, the sinner, the killer, the poet. The river the blood within me that's flowing. Inside me say they wanna see me gone tragically, and it's evil. Cause I'm only 20 something working for a crumb.